The Toronto Raptors head coach, Dwayne Casey, won his 300th game as a Raptors head coach. The club moved into first place in the Eastern Conference, so it was eventful from a number of perspectives. And at the end of the game, I was watching the game, and I saw DeMar DeRozan grab the basketball, which I assume he gave to the head coach to commemorate his 300th win as a Raptor head coach.
He better. Otherwise, I mean, it's not like he'd get a puck. They don't go through as many basketballs in a game as they do. They go through lots,
no, I guess
but not
so.
As many pucks.
So my first question, here's the coach. Coach, congratulations, first of all. 300.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, John. Thank you guys a lot. I appreciate it.
So in the trophy case or on the wall, on a shelf, in your basement, wherever you keep this stuff, how many basketballs have you got?
I think I've got about, I got one for the national championship in college, one in Dallas, one the first game in Minnesota, a couple of All-Star games. So they're mounting, which is too many to count. So in this one yesterday, DeMar gave it to me after the game in front of the team, and you know, which was very nice of him to grab it, because I didn't even think about it after the game. So he grabbed it and gave it to me after the game in front of the team, which was very, very thoughtful.
So do you display them? Do you have them in, little cases? Do you have a wall? Or, I mean, what do you do with them?
My wife, she put them on a shelf. They're on different shelves. And
okay.
We have a few here, and we have a few in Seattle on the shelf. And something that I'm sure I'll cherish many years from now.
Are they all property inflated?
Yes. Well, yes, they are. That's a good point, John, because some of them, the one from Kentucky had lost some air and had trouble keeping it inflated. So, but luckily it's still up and in one piece. Long ago.
The interesting thing for me, Dwayne, is that you got hired in June of 2011. Uh-huh. There aren't many coaches that have been in the same city in the NBA as long as you have now, is there? It's just probably just a handful.
Well, I think it's myself, Pop, Rick Carlisle, Spoelstra. Who else? I think it's a couple, one more maybe, that's been in the same same position. And again, it's very rare, and I'm humble, John, that the organization and Masai decided to keep him. He could have easily changed coaches when he first came in. And, so hopefully he saw something that we were doing that, you know, kept us around. And I think, you know, we're on our way to building something special. So we started from ground zero. We were 30th in defense, and you can't get any lower than that. And, saying we were pretty far down the line offensively. So, and then now we're in the top five in both categories and top of the conference. So we're making big strides toward getting to our eventual goal, which is winning the gold trophy.
So I have a few sports balls on my mantle too. And they do in time. You need to refill them.
Yes, you do.
Do you want to know what the answer to that is? You know how to fix that problem? There isn't one. you got to get a pump out.
I didn't know about it because the good old manual, the old fashioned way, fill it back up. So,
that's what you need. Yeah, yeah.
So.
Get a pump. And
yes.
Now, if you get those, they have fancy pumps now. You remember the old days? Like, we're all old enough to remember when you used to get the bicycle pump.
I went through about ten needles one year. And I did, the little needles. I
mean, would you keep breaking them?
Oh yeah, they kept snapping.
Snapping off, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, now you get you get the electric thing. You press the button. It makes a lot of noise, and it fills up in no time. You know, and you got to do it periodically.
See, so
modern technology.
Yeah.
So this team doing what it's doing this year, is it doing it quicker than you thought it would be able to? This new game, this new transition. And the transition from the way they played last year to the way they're playing now, has it happened quicker than you thought it could?
John, the offensive tweaks that we had has came along, is coming along. It's still not 100% there yet. We struggled at the beginning of the year with it, but it's come along. The biggest surprise, and I think for everyone, is how quickly the young guys have produced. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that they were playing at a high clip, that they could come in and take over and didn't have to play Kyle and DeMar any of the fourth quarters or some of the quarters they're not playing, I'd sign up for it right on the spot. But they've really improved. They're coming. They're still a work in progress. There's going to be some nights that they just can't get it done, but it won't be from a lack of trying. But their growth and productivity has been off the charts and been a good thing. And again, the great thing about it, they're not a finished product. They're still, you're still growing and still see some things and say, whoa, where did that come from? But for the most part, they've been a very productive and a fun group to coach. They play the game the right way. They're fresh. They're selfless. And they're a type of team that is just fun to be around. They keep things fresh, and they've saved our behind in quite a few games this year. So that's the biggest surprise, John, that we've had so far, that how quickly those guys have grown and grown into a bigger role than we really expected at the beginning of the season.
With the head coach of the Raptors, Dwayne Casey. So here's one thing we know, that when you get to playoff time, and I know we got a ways to go yet, but when you get to playoff time, traditionally the bench gets shorter. You know, if you're playing eight or nine guys, you play seven or eight guys, and six or seven guys. Your best players get more minutes. The way this has gone right now, you essentially have, and I know it's not a perfect science, but 2 5-man units that get a lot of playing time, get a lot of points, do a lot of good things. What are you going to do when playoffs come?
Well, until they prove that they can't get it done, John, that's the most important thing right now, that we've got to go with what we're doing. And there's no, like you said, there's no perfect science. There's no written rule in some playoff rule book that says you can't play 10 guys. I mean, I think that's something that somebody said a long time ago, and it's been copycat. But with our group, the way they're playing, it's going to be very difficult to eliminate two guys, or how many guys you have to eliminate to get down to a smaller rotation, just because they fit together so well. I mean, they fit together as a unit more so than one guy, two guys sticking out. Because one night it's Fred VanVleet, and another night it's DeLon Wright, and another night is Pascal Siakam, another night is C.J. Miles. So again, the collective group is what makes them so potent, and that bench mob so important. And so we're just going to have to see. I'm not going to put a lock and key on it right now and put a definite yes or no on it right now, but they're going to have to drop off drastically before we just eliminate two guys or three guys out of that group to say, okay, we're in the playoffs, so we're going to cut back right now.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about endlessly and understandably is, your two All-Stars, DeMar and Kyle, playing a lot of minutes during the course of the regular season. Do they get tired when it comes to playoff time, where you're playing basically every other night? You don't really have that situation right now. Do you have a feeling, a sense as to what that might mean come playoff time?
Hopefully, Bob. Hopefully that means they're fresher. Because Kyle has had some hard minutes. He had some hard minutes last year because he had to save us. I can't remember exactly when DeMar missed, quite a few games, so Kyle's usage rate went way up. And then vice versa, when Kyle went down, DeMar's usage rate went up toward the end of the year. Kyle missed, 18 to 17, whatever games he missed toward the end of the season. So they flip-flopped each other, and again, by the end of the year, both of them had logged hard minutes, big minutes. And so hopefully this year with the second unit playing the way they are, allowing Kyle and DeMar to stay on the bench longer, and a lot of games not even playing in the fourth quarter, which is huge. We don't know. Just like we don't know whether the young group is going to be explosive in the playoffs. Hopefully we're hoping our goal is for Kyle and DeMar to be fresh come playoff time and be ready to roll and not have a lot of minutes on their body. So we'll see. And again, going into the season, this is what we hope for. This is what we plan for, to cut back on those minutes. And the good thing about it, Kyle and DeMar and Serge and Jay, they've allowed this to happen. A lot of got time, your starters will be looking at you cross-eyed, just, saying, hey, I want my minutes, I want my touches. And that's what's been special about this group, Bob and John, is the fact that the first unit has allowed the second unit to be themselves. They're the biggest cheerleaders. They pull for them. So it's not really like a first or second unit. It's a team, and that's what's good about us so far. We just got to keep it going, keep improving, and to get where we want to go.
How much of your game planning with your staff about the first and second units is, okay, this is a team that we're playing tonight, that we know we can have the second unit play 22 minutes, 23 minutes? Does it change per night per team?
I tell you what, a lot of it is how well is that second unit rolling? I mean, I hate to say it like that, John, but it's so true. A lot of times they go in. Sometimes I give example in the Washington game at Washington, they struggle. They just had a hard time getting that mojo going, getting their engines going. So we had to ramp up Kyle and DeMar's minutes. But the very next game, they came out like gangbusters. The very next night, matter of fact, they came out like gangbusters, produced, played well. So a lot of times those minutes are extended by their productivity, no matter who they're playing. Give example, Boston, a big game for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came in and played a huge part of the second half and stayed out there because they were rolling. So they're going to control a lot of their minutes, a lot of their, you know, as well as their producing on the floor. Again, we'll sprinkle DeMar and Kyle back in there at certain points with that group or Serge and mix and match a little bit. But again, to keep the minutes down, if those guys are rolling, we extend them just a little bit longer.
But just as a follow-up to Bob's point about how being in the playoffs changes things,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to, you can't afford to take that risk in the playoffs like you do in the regular season. It's 7 versus 82.
Right. Well, again, it goes back to productivity. It's not really a risk. They're going to go in their normal rotations, and you know, you will be able to see how well they're rolling and what's going on the floor, you know, especially in that first quarter, that first, you know, first stint that they go in and get a feel. And so, again, it's been successful for us so far, knock on wood. And again, I don't see any reason, there's no written rule book about playoff etiquette that has to say that, hey, you can't play the second unit.
With Dwayne Casey. Sorry, Coach.
No, I was just going to say, we'll just have to – I know it's a – I don't think it's a gamble, John. I don't
–
you know, because these guys have proven it so far, and unless something drastically changed between now and the last 23, 24 games, you know, that's the way I see it now. But, again, we'll cross that bridge once we get there.
With Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. I don't know if you watched the Cleveland-Boston game. I did, and there were two factors there, and I'm not sure which one is truer. The Cleveland Cavaliers took their roster, threw it in the garbage, and got themselves a new one. We know that's a fact. The Boston Celtics have not played well the last while, and that's a fact. And the Cleveland Cavaliers went into Boston and blew the Celtics' doors off. What do you think is more true? Boston is in a bit of a slump, or the Cavaliers actually significantly improved their team?
Bob, probably a little bit of both. I would say that, you know, we all go through, you know, peaks and valleys throughout an 82-game schedule, and probably Boston, you know, they had such a great start of the run, and again, I'm an outsider looking in just like everybody else, but probably a little bit, you know, sluggish right now. Kyrie's coming back from injury. I don't know how 100% healthy Al Horford is. The Morris twin, he's coming back from injury, and they're without Marcus Smart, so they're kind of in a low point right now, probably. And on the flip side, I would say the new energy, the new chemistry that Cleveland has probably gave them a jolt. And again, like I've always said, as long as 23 is there, they're going to be a factor. And but I will also say then, not, you know, we have to be in the conversation too. And that kind of upsets me a little bit that the national media in the lower 50 doesn't really include, you know, give us as much respect as we deserve. So again, a little bit of both. I like Cleveland's new team. They're younger, they're more energetic, more athletic to go along with 23. And then Boston, I don't think they're going anywhere. They're still a potent team, and just probably going through a rough patch like we all do at some point in an 82-game schedule.
It's an obvious question, and I know you've been asked it a zillion times, and I probably asked it of you as you were chasing the Boston Celtics, but here you are. You now have the number one seed in the East. Mm-hmm. We know what it means externally. We know it means if you finish there, home court advantage in every series that you will play until you get to the NBA final, and maybe even then. Internally, do you have a sense as to what this would mean for this group of players, particularly the young guys?
Huge. The experience they're getting right now is going to pay huge dividends. I look at Pascal Siakam. Here's a young man who started, 38 games last year and kind of fell off the cliff a little bit toward the end of the year. Took the summer, continued to work, but those 38 games of starting experience is what you're seeing now, the improvement of his game right now. The starting games that Jakob Poeltl played last year are huge. Last year, DeLon Wright played in the meaningful playoff game in the Milwaukee series in a couple of games. Fred VanVleet played in the Cleveland series. So you're seeing some of that, those fruits pay off right now, and then those guys going and leading us to wherever they lead us the rest of the year is going to pay huge dividends for us down the road next year. So it's all good, Bob. It's going to be great for us down the road, for the franchise, for the organization, keeping those guys together. Again, the older guys helping lead them and everything. So that's going to be huge for us as far as the experience they're getting and as far as we can go in the playoffs.
You mentioned the lack of respect you get in the U.S. media, and I think you would even acknowledge that that is sort of starting to change at least a little bit, and it's because of the way your team is playing. And because when you look at the standings, well, it's impossible to ignore the Toronto Raptors. You can't just throw them out the window and say, well, they're the...
Well, when you start at the top, and you look...
Right.
Well, yeah. But I think you would agree that there is something to be said, especially for young players, in the understanding that they're not giving us the respect we deserve. I got a chip on my shoulder. Watch us go now. That isn't necessarily a bad thing, Case.
No question, Bob. And again, I'll throw this at you. For our young players not to be invited or voted into the Rising Star All-Star Games, not one. And we've got, Pascal Siakam from Cameroon. We've got Jakob Poeltl from Austria. Austria. They could have made the world teams. Fred VanVleet could have made the U.S. team. So they, and I told them, you should kick everybody's butt for not voting you into the Rising Star Game. So we're going to be beneficial to us. It gives us a psychological, motivational factor to play for. But again, also just the practical experience that these guys are getting right now and playing from a standpoint of, like you said, John, of being in first place, of being at the top, the confidence that gives you is you can't put a price on it.
Hold on, but I'm going to challenge you on one thing.
Okay.
If I'm a coach and I got my guys, I'm running two units. I don't want them going to the All-Star game. I want them rested. I want them to, when you're going down the stretch, I know it's nice to get the accolades, but give them the 4 days off.
Well, but that chip on the shoulder that you have because of that is a good thing.
That's what I'm saying. This is a way. Dwayne, you're playing this like poker, man. This is perfect. You can get them mad and you can get them rested and you win both ways.
John, it's not my first rodeo. I'm going to say that now. Come on now. So, but again, okay, here's another way to look at it, John and Bob. Do you want them going to Cancun for a week or to a controlled environment to All-Star game? They're probably going to touch the ball a few times and that type of thing. So that's,
they can't get in trouble at the All-Star game. That's right. They can't get in trouble All-Star week. No way.
Exactly.
Well,
we're going to be there. We'll
unless
be,
it's Vegas.
Somebody's going to be there and see him. Where in Cancun, you just don't know. But so it works both ways.
Okay.
But again, I think it's great that, they can use that as a psychological, chip on the shoulder to show the league. And those guys take pride in themselves. And as far as what they're doing, how they're playing. And again, they're not, the great thing about it, they're young and they're not a finished product.
So here's one I don't know that you can answer because I don't really know the answer to it. But, one of the things that's happened with this team this year, coaches, there are nights where they can't make a three to save their lives.
Right.
And there are nights where they shoot the lights out.
Well, look at JV. Look at JV. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Well,
48% now.
Well, how do you explain that? I mean, or do you get, if they miss assignments on offense, I'm sure that makes you a lot more angry than the missing 3-point shots, because this is stuff you practice every day and they're supposed to know all this stuff. But how do you explain this, or can you?
No, it's hard. You know, shooting is, you know, it's one of those things. There's going to be certain nights you can't hit the side of a barn. And again, what we want guys to do is make sure if they take the right shots, the right shots are more important than you know, taking bad shots and missing. As long as guys are taking good shots, the right three-point shots, the rhythm three-point shots, and you want to be a three-point shooting team, you can't say, okay, you don't shoot those. Now, again, the game has got to tell you, all right, if I've got a driving alley and I'm struggling on my threes, okay, take that driving alley. But again, the guys got to assume have confidence. You know, that's why everybody says, well, why are you like letting Valanciunas shoot threes? Well, guess what? At some point, he's going to be one of the top three-point shooting big men in the league. But he's got to do it, have some mistakes, have some misses. But again, in the long run, he's shown in practice and through his workouts and in games now that he can make those shots. So those are the nights, Bob and John, you got to understand, you know, if you have it rolling, you know. But again, I've seen guys like C.J. Miles can't buy one in the first half. But in the second half, he comes back and gets hot and keep shooting. So it's one of those games you know you play in the analytical game, and if you shoot enough of them, you know, and that's part of your playing personality, it's going to work out in the end.
One of the things that's intriguing about this team is that it has won more games than I can remember any other Raptor team by big margins. Yeah. And I think you're like first or second in the NBA in margin of victory. I'm not positive of that, but I think you're somewhere in that neighborhood. I wonder if you long for a close game every once in a while, because it gives you something that a blowout does not give you.
Bob, you hit something right on the head. We have struggled in close games.
Yeah, you have.
You know, for whatever whether it's the reason because we win in some by so many or whatever. But again, that's why creating that atmosphere is difficult to do in practice. We work on it in the game situations. But the stress and anxiety that you have at the end of the game is something you can't reproduce. And so, you know, as a coach, as much as you don't like a close game, you like to have one to make sure you keep those juices flowing and that feeling of a close game of executing down the stretch. Believe me, I'd much rather win by 25 than to have a close game. But again, we need you know, that execution and that type of game atmosphere to replicate that, because again, a lot of games come down to that last 2-3 minutes, and sometimes if you hadn't been in that situation in a while, it's a different feeling.
Yeah, and you got playoffs coming up, and you have to anticipate tighter games than the kinds of games that you generally play, which are, you know, 15, 20-point victories.
No question. And it's not from lack of work on it. We cover in the game situations, special situations each and every day we're on the court, just because we know, just like tomorrow is coming.
You play for Joe P. Hall at Kentucky?
Sure did. Just had lunch with him in August, turning 90, John.
Wow.
Spry and feisty as ever. So he's doing well and watches all of our games, so he's doing well right now.
So here's my question. You're you know, the end of the first quarter, you're in the huddle, you start talking to the guys, and you say, oh, man, I'm starting to sound like Joe B. Do you do it?
Never. I don't think I would ever be able to say, because Coach Hall, the old school coaches, they coached with an iron stick, you know, as far as coaching is concerned. It was their way or the highway. And in today's athletics, it's very difficult to coach that way and get away for a long period of time. But I learned a lot from him, you know, the way he ran the Kentucky program. You know, he was probably had more power than the governor of the state of Kentucky, John. Mm. And, you know, he and Adolph, when they were coaching at Kentucky, they could control the state as far as if they wanted to run for any type of office, dog catcher, sheriff, or whatever, because they were so popular. But he handled it in the right way. I thought he retired at the right time. He got out of it the right time while he was on top. You know, unfortunately, he lost his wife to cancer, but he's doing well and very happy. And I'm so glad that Coach Calipari keeps him involved with the program there at Kentucky. He's at practice all the time. They built a statue. Our ambassador to Canada, her husband built a statue outside of Wildcat Lodge.
Oh, no kidding. Hall,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure did. So, so it's really, really a tribute to the state that you have Coach Hall, who has done a lot for the program, still alive and still involved in the
program. He's part of the foundation that got you 300 victories for the Raptors.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, if you want to take it back that far, I'll take it, John.
Oh, you should.
The only thing I disagree with in what you said there, Coach, is you said probably that Hall was more popular than the governor. Of course he was more popular than the governor.
Question. No question. Absolutely.
That's
right.
Not even a question.
You're right.
Coach, we thank you for your time. Congratulations on the 300. Keep it going. And congratulations on first place. Stick around there as long as you can, preferably to the finish line. And we'll chat with you down the road. Thank you for your
time. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, Bob. Thank you, John.
Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Toronto Raptors.